Well, this morning, as you know and as we've mentioned previously, one of our goals is to talk about how we ought to reach and build bridges to our neighbors. And so we want to be able to do that. And we want to be able to have an impact in our world and to touch people's lives. So often it's really easy to sit back and be who we are and hope that just in doing what we do, that other people will be so enamored in what we do, they'll come and they'll want to join us. You know what? That doesn't always happen. In fact, it rarely happens. As we've been reminded over and over again in a lady by the name of Henrietta Mears, who was a great church leader in the South, she did a study and she came to the conclusion that well over 85% of the people who come to church come because of what? They're invited by a friend. Not because they saw an announcement in a newspaper or anything like that. And so you have to ask yourself, so am I willing to invite my friends? Am I willing to invite somebody who I care about and seems to care about me? Would I invite them? Would I invite a workmate or a work somebody at, you know, that I spend days with working? Is my faith important to me? Do I recognize the importance of that to invite them to the midst of a church gathering like this? I want to suggest to you that a lot of people, if they were invited to a church service or a church event, like maybe some of the ones we've had this weekend, coming to sit in church on Sunday morning like this today, I would think that they would sit back and they would think, wow, look at these people. They have fun. They're Christian people. You know, they're not trying to take somebody down to size. They really care about the other people that are sitting around them and concerned about them from the time they're infants until the times they head away into the world. Wow, this is really impressive. And I think that they would think it would make them think. Okay, so do I want to find out what is the glue that's in these people's lives? Well, this morning we want to talk about that, and we want to talk about it in terms of what is God's call. Now, you'll remember long ago, and we find it in Genesis 12, there was a call on a man who was living in a far country. And that far country was Ur, the Chaldees. And the man's name was Abram. And this is what happened. And the Lord had said to Abram, leave your native country, your relatives, and your father's family, and go to the land that I will show you. I will make you a great nation. I will bless you and make you famous, and you will be a blessing to others. I will bless those who bless you and curse those who treat you with contempt. All the families on earth will be blessed through you. Wow. Can you imagine if God called you and said that he was going to bless the whole world through your family? Wow. You know, I would rush home immediately and start cleaning up. Our house is meticulous because Pam does that. I would rush home and start cleaning up my life, because that sort of needs some treatment in certain areas. If I was going to be a blessing to the whole world, I mean, I think, wow, that's pretty big. When God calls us, there are two things that sort of happen. One, we can stay where we are, or we can go where he calls us. And as we look at this morning, I don't want you to think that everyone whom God calls, he sends to Bermuda. You know, I mean, as sad as that might seem, nor does everyone that he calls them somewhere else. Very often he calls us where we live and where we are, and we need to find the way that God wants us to minister where we are and how we are. However, there are some things that sort of balance off between this stay and go idea. Well, the first thing is that if we stay, we're safe. Whew! I can stay. I don't, you know how our culture, everybody aims to be safe? You know, we try to be safe. We try to do things safely so that, you know, we're risk management and all that kind of stuff. And the problem is that the opposite of that sometimes is sacrifice. We say, well, you know, God calling me, I'm gonna have to go and maybe sacrifice something. You know, and sometimes maybe we sacrifice time, energy, money. I mean, all of these things are things that sometimes we are called on to maybe sacrifice. So when you, in the balance, what do you think is more important? Our North American culture and North American Christianity, we aim at being safe. You know, God calls me, and think about it, He blesses me when I'm safe. When we get into a situation where things go south and we're sacrificing something, all of a sudden we think God has taken His blessing away from us. But maybe that is the blessing. Well, the other thing that we aim for in our culture when we stay is we stay with comfort. You know, I go home. I mean, we all do this. We all know that our home is the place where we have relative comfort in some way. We have our comfortable chair that is ours, that we sit in, that we read in, that maybe we watch the television in, that maybe we just go and we fall asleep in sometimes. It's the place of comfort. That's what we want. As opposed to maybe, and I'm not saying that all the time God takes away our comfort if He calls us, but so often our focus is on comfort that we rarely hear the call of God because we don't want to lose that comfort. But maybe when we go for God, we receive blessing. And that blessing isn't always comfort, but it is blessing. And maybe that's what God is calling us to. And I think each of us have to measure that in our lives. Am I happy? Am I happy just to be comfortable? Or am I really looking maybe to go and have God's blessing? Well, certainly stability is something we aim for. I mean, I don't know many families who operate on the principle that they don't want to have some stability. Right? And when you run into those families that don't want stability, you sort of worry. And because the other side of it is risk. And we want, you know, I mean, I love stable things. But I'm not averse to risk. But I always, you know, for me, and this is my confession, I always want to measure the risk. I always want to know, is the risk worth the lack of stability? Is this really what God is calling me to? And rather, so I'm basing whether I'm going to follow God's call based on my assessment of the situation and whether the stability is more important than the risk, rather than hearing God's call and seeking to do what God is calling me to do. And I don't know, I'm just talking to myself this morning because I'm sure none of you wrestle with these things. Security. Wow. Security is the big thing. I mean, you sit and you watch television and every few minutes you're having another financial planner telling you how important it is that you be secure. You remember it used to be Freedom 55? Well, they've sort of changed that now because the stock market bottomed out several times. So now I think it's probably closer to Freedom 85. But nonetheless, people are still working towards that security. We want it. We want things to be secure. We want to know that what I've got today and what's going to happen tomorrow is relatively secure and it's going to be all right. However, maybe when God calls us, rather than just living on making sure everything is secure and making sure that we make sure everything's secure, maybe when God calls us, we live on hope. Hope, not blind hope. Hope recognizing that as God has been faithful, so He will continue to be faithful. And sometimes we base our willingness to hear the call of God like Abram did. We base it on, boy, I'd rather stay here and be secure. Can you imagine Abram when he went to tell his family? Hey, guess what, family? You know, we're packing up. God's sending us to a place we don't know where, we don't know when, we don't know how long it'll take, we don't know. And they were probably shaking their heads and saying, whoa, this guy has really slipped off the edge. And Abram simply said, well, you know, God has called. In hope that God is leading, we are going to go. I think it's marvelous. So we continue on. So often we want the status quo. You know, I mean, I know what I've got here. I know my relative position among in the pecking order of life. You know, and my goal is not to climb the ladder a big time. Well, maybe go up a few more rungs, but I know what the status quo is. I'm going to stay. This is safe. And maybe when God calls us, he calls us to adventure. He's saying, hey, you know, everything isn't just staying as it should be or you think it should be. Maybe the status quo really isn't good enough. Maybe God wants something bigger and better for us, and we're going to gain that in the adventure. Well, you know, one of the things that a lot of people in our culture suffer from is boredom. Because they've, you know, we've done all of these things. You know, we've made everything safe and comfortable and stable and secure. We know what the status quo is. We know that if, you know, the paycheck just comes in every second week or every month or whenever it comes in, and everything is in its place, we really don't have to worry about adventure and risk and all that. And you know what? I think a lot of people are bored. They're looking for more things to do. They ramp it up one more step. We ramp it up so that we can do extreme things. I mean, you can spend the day watching extreme sports on TV where people just do the absolute most, well, in my understanding, with my body that's been wrecked by doing silly things over my life, they're really sitting there doing crazy things that damage them, break them. And why do they do that? Just to ramp it up one more level. Maybe it's because they're bored in life. Well, sometimes when God calls us, there's great fear involved in that. Because we don't know where he's going. We are pressed beyond what we usually live with. And there's a sense of fear. Okay, so what is God going to do? What is God going to do? When we stay, we're in control. We all know that. When we listen to God and we hear God's call and maybe go along with what God is calling us, there is change. How many of you just get up every morning and say, boy, I hope my world changes today? I don't think we do. I mean, we give lip service to the whole idea that change is important. But have you ever tried to move people to change? Woo, that's a big deal. And that's a challenging thing. And so we like to keep things as they are. We like to know what the expectations are. We don't want to launch out into something and say, well, I don't know what's going to happen and I don't know what the expectations are, but I trust God is going to take and lead me and my family across Iraq and Iran and take me to some promised land somewhere. Whoa. I mean, today we would want to go to BCAA and get a travel tick so that we could spell out everything that's on the way. We would know every restroom and restaurant along the way so that everything was clear. But you know, sometimes when God calls, the expectations are unknown. And so what we have to do is we actually have to live by faith. My expectation is that this would work. You guys must have done something. Oh, how disappointing is that? Well, let me press on. Well, so what we have is when God calls us, and I want to tell you that when God calls us and we are called on to respond to his call, even like Abram did, even in our little situation, whatever it is. I mean, there aren't many of us that are being called to go around the world or anywhere else, but you know what? We're called into several areas. And I just want to tell you about four areas that we need to be engaged in. And every one of us, if we are going to hear God's call and respond to God's call, this is where we need to be engaged. First of all, we need to be engaged. There it goes. It was sleeping. Oh, it didn't come up. Anyways, We need to be engaged with our culture. With our culture. If we are going to be, think about what Abraham was called to be, first of all. Abraham wasn't called to go and set up an outpost or set up and do something. He was called to go and live. He took part of his community with him, his family, and he went. And the same was true with Peter and taking the Jewish community and going and setting up in the Gentile cultures. I mean, this was different stuff. You know, we come to church here and it's pretty safe. Because, you know what, Joe and Steve, you know, while they're different people, they sort of have some similar opinions about who God is and what the anticipation is and what the expectations are. Just like you do with the folks over here and the folks over here. I mean, we're sort of here and it's relatively safe, isn't it? I mean, this is where we are and this is what we're doing. And so very often when missionaries go, they have to cross ethnic, social, religious, philosophical barriers to extend God's blessing to other people. So when you go into your community, your neighborhood, your neighbors, your actual next door neighbors, you know what? You have to go and you have to be people that can cross those cultural barriers with your neighbors. God wants you to do that. And they had to trust that God would, Abram had to trust that God would be with them when they went into this foreign environment. And that's what they did. Well, so we have to engage in the culture. Do not love this world, nor the things of this world. No, do not love this world, nor the things it offers you. For when you love the world, you do not have the love of the Father in you. So we have to engage in our culture, but not love the things of our culture, because our goal is to love God and to show that love to others as we love God. So, as I said, there we go. The second one is to engage in our community. We engage in our culture. We engage in our community. You know, Abram was headed off to a hostile community and a hostile place. He needed to be able to reach out to those people, and his call, Jesus called his disciples to be with him, and they ministered in a community together. They were people that worked together, and so they needed to recognize that we are called not alone, but we're called together as a community. I mean, we've spent a lot of time talking about why we're a family, a church family together. And it's simply summarized in Matthew 18, for where two or three are gathered together as my followers, I am among them. And as we hear the call of God, we need to recognize that we don't stand alone. We've had episodes in the past little while where we recognize we need to stand together with one another in events and care for one another and save one another, help one another and lift one another up. And that's critically important. We need to also be engaged with God. You know, God didn't call Abraham or communities to just be evangelistic. You know, he didn't call Abraham to march into the promised land, and he didn't call Peter and everybody to march into Gentile territory and hand out tracts. You know, that wasn't the goal. God just didn't call them to be evangelistic in doing those kinds of things. He said, he told them that they would be a blessing to the world. Well, blessings simply mean the tangible touch of God. You can't extend the tangible touch of God unless you personally are engaged with God. You can't just stir it up sometime. You can't just whip it up and all of a sudden throw a tract at somebody and say, I'm reaching out to the world. That's not what God called you to, and that's not what the purpose is. He called us to be a blessing to the world. And we only do that as we are engaged with Him. How are you engaged with God today? Because you know what? He wants to use you. He wants to use you. The last area that we need to be involved in is that we need to be engaged in tension. If you don't think being a Christian in our culture, in our world, is a could be a tension-filled experience, then maybe you're not living your Christianity so others can tell. You may be living in the Secret Service. And the problem with that is that God didn't call us to live as secret agents. He called us to live as ambassadors of His kingdom. And when you do that, I want to tell you that there is tension. There is tension. He replied, The Father alone has the authority to set those dates and times, and they're not for you to know. And after saying this, he was taken up into the cloud while they were watching, and they could no longer see him. And as they strained to see him rising in heaven, two white-robed men suddenly stood among them. And that you will receive power when the Holy Spirit... Men of Galilee, why are you standing here and staring into heaven? Jesus has been taken from you into heaven, but someday he will return from heaven in the same way you saw him go. Have you ever been in sort of an event or sort of have your Christian thing, almost like Peter, James, and John when they're on the mountainside with Jesus and they wanted to build booths to preserve the occasion? Well, here we had the disciples wanting to preserve the occasion of Jesus doing a miraculous thing, being taken up into heaven. They didn't really want to go and fulfill the Great Commission. Because you know what? It was so much easier to be there and to do the things, the Christianese kinds of things that would soon develop around Jesus' life. And sometimes we're like that. Sometimes we want to preserve the good, not, and I don't want to mean demeaning, but the good little things that we do. Because they fulfill all of those other things, the safety, the comfort, all of those things. And we don't want to go down off the mountainside and get our hands dirty doing the ministry that God has called us to. And so, Jesus ultimately told his disciples, I've been given all authority in heaven and on earth, and therefore, go. Go and do something in my name. In this occasion, he said, go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit. And teach the new disciples to obey all the commands I have given you. And be sure of this, I'm with you always, even to the end of the age. You know, that's the call. That's almost like the call that Abraham got. He was called to go, not with the thought of the Holy Spirit and Christ leading him, but he was called to go, and God promised to be with him, and God promised to use him as a blessing and for a blessing and as a blessing in his world. And I want to tell you today that we live in an age of tension between that call on our lives and our desire to stay and to be comfortable, to be secure, to have everything just the way we always thought it would be and should be. But God is calling us, and he says, live in the tension. Live in the tension between, you know, what you really think you want and what God is calling you to. And I want to suggest that if we live the way that God is calling us to, there's a great opportunity for us, a great opportunity for us to have an impact in our world. And I believe the same is true of us as a church family in our neighborhood around us here. Now, there aren't many of us who actually live in the neighborhood here, but there's an opportunity for us to reach our community. You know, again today, that our children have gone out and they've been delivering flyers to people who live in the apartments around us, because they're excited about the whole fact that we as a church can live in tension between being safe and comfortable here and having our toys in the gym and toys everywhere else, and between that and inviting other people to come in and share with us. And that's what the kids are excited about, and they're out doing that today. So I want to challenge you, I want to challenge me, that the status quo and safety just isn't what God is calling us to. But he's calling us to reach beyond ourselves into our community. As the worship team comes, let's just pray together. Father, thank you that your call is so big and you call us. Father, we thank you for the privilege of being able to respond to you and able to live for you. And so, gracious Father, we pray that you would use us in these coming weeks to be people who reach into our community, to build bridges to people's lives who are far from you. And so, Father, we pray and ask your blessing in Jesus' name. Amen.